Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Sherman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Atshalom. We're now on Masechet Beitzah Daf Yod Daled Amud Aleph, and we're going to look at several Mishnayot in relatively rapid succession, again involving Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and their disputes about permissible behavior on Yom Tov. Mishnah Zayin, Beit Shammai Omrim Tevalin Nidochin V'Madoch Shel Eitz. So grinding spices must be done with not the normal stone, but rather with a piece of wood. V'Amelach B'Pach and salt should be ground with either a piece of pottery or with like a wooden handle of an instrument. Bedilla says that spices can be ground with this normal kind of rock stone. And salt does need a shinui, must be done with wood. Now, the kuli amam yat melach bayu shinui, in our Mishnah, both sides agree that melach must be done in an unusual way. My tam, the reason of Hunav Chisda, Charamar kolak derot kulan suchot melach. All pots need salt, which means the person should have gotten the salt ready before Yom Tov. But not every pot needs spices, so it could be that only when you started cooking did you realize you needed spices. That's legitimate, so we won't make you do it a different way. The other one is a different pragmatic component, which is consideration, which is that all spices, once you grind them, they quickly lose their taste. So you can't grind them in advance. But salt doesn't, so you could have done it the day before. Now, my binahu, where's a case where these two positions would end up disagreeing about whether things would stay the same? If you knew what kind of spices go into the pot, then according to the first reason, you should have done the spices also Erev Yom Tov, and then you would probably need a shinui on Yom Tov. And I'll be morika, or perhaps if we're talking about a particular kind of spice, morika, which does not lose its taste, also that could have been done Erev Yom Tov, and therefore should be done with a shinui. I'm reviewing Amar Shmuel, kol ha-nidochin, nidochin kedarkan. All things that are ground are ground in the normal way. V'afilu melach, even salt. V'amart melach bayu shinui, but we said that everyone agrees that melach needs to be done in an unusual way. Hudamar kitan haitan, so Shmuel was following this time of the time, Amar Meir, lo nechlu bet shomit hilal ha-nidochin, v'chin kedarkan u'melachim mahen. That Meir's take on our Mishnah is that Beit Shammai and Hillel agree that all things that are ground, including salt, are done in the normal way. Their only disagreement was about grinding salt separately. If you grind salt with the spices, you do it in the normal way. You can only do a little bit of salt, enough for roasting, and only in this unusual way. Not enough for a pot, which is more severe than our Mishnah. But Hillel said you could use anything. Even in their lenient position, still agree that salt needs an unusual implement. Meaning you can do as much as you need, even for the pot, but it must be done with an unusual thing, if done alone, not with other spices. So he said to his son, when you smash spices, lean over, do it, kind of pull the thing on its side and do it, and do it in an unusual way. Sheshet had heard, he was blind, but he heard the sound of grinding. That's not coming from my house. Maybe they were doing it with a shinui, leaning the thing over. He heard that it was coming with a very strong sound. Maybe they were spices that are ground normally in the normal way. They make a very clear sound. He recognized that sound was not what was going on. Therefore, it was melach, and he knew that from the strength of the sound that it was not being done in an unusual way, so therefore he said, it's not from my house. Tana Rabbanan, and this supports the common understanding that people who lose one sense perhaps become more sensitive in another. Here, his hearing was very sensitive. Tana Rabbanan, Einosin Tisani. Tisani is taking several pieces of wheat together and smashing them and breaking them up into four small pieces. Ve'enkochin b'machteshet. And you can't grind things in a grinder. Tarti, why these two statements? Hakimar matam einosin tisani. Why can't you make this tisani? L'fishein v'kochin b'machteshet. Just say you can't grind in a grinder. I would think that's a big grinder. Small one, I would think it's okay. So Kamashvan, therefore they picked the Tisani, which goes in a small one. But we have a brayta that says you may use a small one. Our That Breita was also talking about a big one, and which brings us back and said, so what do you need to mention the Tisani for? Rav Amar Lo Kashi has a different answer. Halan v'halahu. And what that means is, we here in Bavel don't have many avadim in the house. Therefore, we don't need to be careful about how, we don't need to put extra care in till we grind things on Yom Tov, because it's not as if we have slaves who are going to learn it wrong and do it the wrong way. There in Eretz Yisrael, we had a lot of slaves at that time. And therefore, they'll learn it wrong, and we'll hear a story about that in a second. And therefore, they have to be more careful and put a bigger gader around it, a bigger fence of protection. Rav Papi ikla v'emar Shmuel. Rav Papi came to Shmuel's house. Aiti le dice of aloacha. They brought him some ground up cereal and he refused to eat it. Maybe they'd made it in a small one. He saw that it was very finely ground. It must have been done in a big one. Maybe they made it yesterday. That it was very shiny, as if it had just been ground. Or perhaps it was different because in that house there were a lot of avadim. And since there were a lot of avadim, he felt that they really do have to be more careful with ketisha, with grinding, and should have forbade all of it on Yom Tov. Okay, the next Mishnah, Mishnah Chet, Taborek Kit Niot B'Yom Tov. If you're selecting out legumes, for the edible and unedible, Shomrim Borer Ochel Ochel V'Ochel. You take out the food and eat it. V'Telomim Borer Kedarkos. Pick it out the normal way. Cheko B'Kanon B'Tamchui. You can pick it out in your arm. You could use a funnel or you could use a bowl to check it out. Avalo B'Tavlo V'Lo Rafal B'Lo B'Kfara. But not a tray or a regular sifter. Gamli Alomer Af Midiach V'Sholet. You could even put it in water and have it rise to the top. We'll see what that means. Tanma Gamliel, Bamedvar, Mamuim, Ksha, Ocha, Mubal, Absolet. All of this is only when there's more food than junk. Absolet, Mubal, Ocha, if there's more dirt or pebbles or unedibles than there are food, Tverakol, Notel, Ta, Ocha, Venechat, Absolet. You take the food out and leave the Absolet behind. Absolet, Mubal, Ocha, Mika, Manashari. What, if there's more Absolet than Ocha, who allows Borer at all? So, Lotzricha, Denafish, Petircha, Vazuta, Bashiure. There's actually more food, but because of the way and the size and everything else, there's actually much more tircha involved in getting the psolet out. Gamliel Omer, Afmei Diach V'Sholei, said you could put it in, soak it. Tanya, Mazar B'Sara, Kachem V'Naganshim, and Gamliel, they used to, Shemim V'in Tli Malei Arashim and Sifin Alav Mayim. In Gamliel's household, they would bring a bucket full of lentils and then fill it with water. So, oh, Chalamat V'Sholei Namala. All but gunk would rise to the top, and the food was on the bottom. Atanya Ibchali or Brighton says the opposite. So Lokasha Haba Afra Haba Gili. It depends if they used dirt or straw, because in the case of straw, the food would rise to the straw would rise to the top. In the case of dirt, the psolet would rise to the top. Depending on what the nature of the psolet was it dirt or straw? If straw, it would rise to the top, and the lentils would stay on the bottom. Okay, Mishnah Tet, Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Meshalchin B'Yom Tov El Amanot. You're only allowed to send prepared food to other people. If you could really send live animals, alive or shechted, and the people can shech them and prepare them. You could send wine and oil and flour and beans, but not just raw grain. He even allows that. You could send these gifts, but you can't send them with a whole, like, entourage of people. That means at least three people sort of passing, bringing them as this kind of formal delegation. It's two whole day. It looks like business. What if you have three people, but each is carrying a separate thing? Is that okay? In other words, is it three people, or is it three people passing one thing along? Take, unclear. Rabbi Shimon Matir Tvuatan, Rabbi Shimon Matir Tvuatan, Gon Chitin, Lasot Mehen Ludiot, because you can make certain kind of cookies out of raw wheat. So, Orim and Tanifre Vemto, and barley, you could give the raw barley to your animal. And Adashim Lasot Mehen Rusisin, there was some food that they would make directly out of lentils. So, therefore, you could have Tvuah and still have it be edible as is, and therefore it may be sent on Yom Tov according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, the final Mishnah, Mishnah Yod, Shalchin Kelim, you're allowed to send to other people clothing, Ben Tfurin, Ben Shinan Tfurin, whether or not they are stitched, Pishish Ben Kilayim, even though they are shatnez, which is odd, because what use do they have? We'll see. Vehem Letzor HaMod, as long as they are usable on the Yom Tov. Avalos Sandalim Sumar, but not the nailed shoe, the shoe with nails in it. And we talked about in the sixth parak of Shabbat, story that happened where, we'll see about the maaseh, what reference to it, from an al sheino tafor, an unstitched shoe. Rabbi Yehuda omer aflo min alavan, not a white shoe, it needs an expert to keep it shiny and to use it, and that's something you have to on Yom Tov. Zakal, kol sheino tin bo b'yom tov v'shachino tov. Here's the rule. Anything you're allowed to benefit from on Yom Tov and use, you could send it on Yom Tov. Now, bishlamat tfurin, I understand why you stitch clothes, chazul lavish, you could wear them. Shein tfurin, nami, even unstitched clothes, chazul lichsui, because they'll cover yourself with them. Lekilayim lachazu. Well, what are you going to do with shatnas? Chitei machazul lemeimach tutei. You're thinking maybe you could put it underneath your feet, or to lie on it. Vatanya, loyale alecha, the famous brayta says that kilayim cannot go on top of you. Avalataya cholatzio tachtecha, but you may put it underneath you. Maybe one strand will come over and be on top of you, and therefore you can't lie on shatnez either. So you think maybe you put a layer of something between you and the shatnez, and then it's okay. A quote going back to the community in Yerushalayim, even if you have 10 mattresses, as it were, sheets on top of each other, and shatnez underneath, you're not allowed to sleep on them, right? Because again, this consideration, they made a low plug. It must be talking about a curtain. You could send kilayim, it could be a curtain, you're not touching it at all, not warming you at all. So why in Masachet Kelim do we say a vilon is makabel tuma, a curtain, because if it's facing the sun heats up from it. And therefore you are getting hanah from it. And therefore there's really a kilayim problem. Ela bekashin, it must be some very, very brittle clothes. And that is accepted from kilayim. Kivchiyadam ravhuna braid rav Yeshua, hainamta gamta dener sharya. This very brittle material that they make here in the town of Nersh is mutar as kilayim, because it cannot go up. It won't move up above you, and therefore it won't warm you. Papa ardelin ein ba mishum kilayim, a particular kind of garment. Rav Ahani tzari dipshiti ein ba mishum kilayim. Money pouches don't have an issue of kilayim. The bazrani, but the little ones that are the one that they use for like a seed pouch, that has kilayim, because those are softer. He says there's no kilayim in either one of them, because that's not how you warm yourself up. The thing may have the material and you may actually get warmth from it, but that's not derech mabush or derech chimum. The Mishnah said you can't wear this shoe with the nail and you can't send it. And there's a reference to the story that I alluded to in the Mishnah, that referenced in Masachet Shabbat, that there was one time that the Jews were all hiding out in a cave, and it was on Shabbat, and the enemy came, and they were all wearing, many of them were wearing these studded shoes, and they panicked so much that they ended up killing more of each other than the enemy killed, so they made a gzeirah, and because it happened on Shabbat, they said you can't wear it on Shabbat, and because it's not allowed to be worn on Shabbat or Yom Tov, you can't send it. Rabbi Sandalam Sumar Asulana Alo. You're not allowed to put it on, Umutala Tatlo, but you're allowed to carry it. Asulana Alo, I'm Shumasa Shaya. We have a rule that you're not allowed to wear it based on that story. Umutala Tatlo, Minitani and Mishalchin. How do I know you're allowed to carry it and move it? It's not Muktzah. Because the Mishnah said you can't send it. If you think you're not allowed to move it, if it's Muktzah, Ashtal Tatuli, Asur Shalchin Avaya, why mention that you can't send it? You're not even allowed to move it, but you are. The Mishnah then said, an unstitched shoe. So pshita should be obvious. So nisuch avagav did not get besichi. Even if you got it held together with pins, you still can't. Yehuda says you can send a black shoe, but not a white shoe. Shtarich beitza tagir, because it needs some sort of a material of limestone or something to clean it off. It can't be done on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi oser b'shachor b'nesh tzarich l'sach tzacho. Rabbi Yossi says you can't send the black one because you need to shine it. V'lo pligi, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda aren't really disagreeing. Mar kiatre, evidently in Tzipori, they wore the black shoe with the skin on the outside, and therefore it needed to be shined. Umar kiatre, be'atre demar biso l'tachar, be'atre demar biso l'el. The question is which side had the skin on top, in which place, and therefore which color needed to have the proper treatment before it could be worn. Okay, Zakal, Kol Shenei Otin Bo Biyom Tov. What's the rule? The rule is whatever you're allowed to get benefit from on Yom Tov, you may send. Rav Sheshet Sharo Lehu LeRabbanim Lishdurei Tefillin B'Yom HaTov. Rav Sheshet told the students, you're allowed to send tefillin on Yom Tov, even though you can't wear them, or you don't wear them. Rabbi Avahan Antanon Kol Shana Tim B'Yom HaTov Shachin HaTov. What's our rule? Anything you could use on Yom Tov. Actually, the rule should be read differently. Anything that you may use as is, even b'chol, you can send on Yom Tov. Rabbi Tefillin, so Rabbi said, as long as you're mentioning tefillin, I'll say something else about tefillin. Hayav avaderach tefillin b'rosho, if a man was on the road and he was wearing tefillin v'shakala avchama, and the sun went down and he can't take them in his hands. His hands are carrying his package. He can put his hand over the tefillin shel rosh till he gets home. Hashem yitam midrash tefillin b'rosho. Let's say he's sitting and studying. Kidei shalav v'yom, and it's Friday and becomes Shabbat. Puts his hand over it, walks home like that, and then takes them off. If he was walking on the road and wearing his tefillin and it became Shabbat, you keep it on until you get to the first house inside the wall of the city. If you're in the Beit HaMidrash, you keep it on until you get to the house close to the Beit HaMidrash. In other words, according to this Braita, you don't have permission to go all the way home. You get just to the first house that's within an area that you can carry, and then you take it off in that house and leave it there. So, it depends if it's watched there or not. Meaning, if that house that's next to the Beit Midrash, or that house that's inside the Choma is a guarded, safe place, you take it off there. If not, you go all the way home. So wait, if it's not guarded, then why do you need to tell me about tefillin on your head? Even if it's on the ground, you can pick it up and take it in, or wear it and take it in. The beginning of the 10th parak of Eruvin is if you find tefillin on the ground on Shabbat, put them on and wear them in one pair at a time. So lokash, the mintra machmat ganavi, machmat kalavi. One is a place where it's guarded both from thieves and from animals, from dogs. Hadamintra machmat kalavi, the other one is only watched from dogs. Flomintra machmat ganavi. And it's not watched from ganavim. So when it's out in the street, it's not watched from anybody, you pick them up and wear it in. If you're going to get it to a place that's going to be guarded near the house, then you'll wear it and put it there. And if not, then you take it all the way home. So Ma'u Tamer Oblis to Yisrael Nino, I might think that most of the local thieves are Yisraelim, Velo Mazalzul, and they won't mistreat tefillin. Kamash Balan, that they're not, and therefore, even if it's only, if it's not guarded from the Ganavim, then meaning that it's safe from wild animals, but not from Ganavim, I'm still allowed to take it all the way home, because I need to be concerned that the Ganavim will get it and will mistreat the tefillin. Hadron Alach Beitza, we've completed successfully our study of the first parak of Masechet Beitza, or Masechet Yom Tov, and in the second parak, Yom Tov Shechal Yerev Shabbat, and we get the Halacha of Eruv Tav Shilin, will be our first topic in the second parak, which will begin the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.